Hey, Shavuot Tov, everyone. I hope you enjoyed a beautiful Shabbat Shuvah, special Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We are up to day 38, which is called Getting 100%. And I started with this story. I've told this many, many times. One of my rabbis in high school who demanded a lot from his students. And I just remember there being so much work and tests and quizzes. It felt like no matter whatever I did, I just couldn't keep up. So I basically went to him and complained and said the workload was just too much, and he should switch me to a lower class level. And I'll never forget, and I tell this story always on Yom Kippur because it's a good introduction to Ne'ilah. You'll hear in a minute why. And the teacher looked at me and said, "Wilds, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Didn't you get 100 on one of my tests?" And without even waiting for me to answer, he opened up his desk drawer and pulled out a test with my name with a big 100 written on the top in red ink. And he's like, "Mark, you'll do fine. Just go back to your seat. You got this." And I thanked him and I walked away. And I found out years later, by the way, that this was a strategy that he employed for all of his students. He somehow finagled a way to make sure that at some point in the year, every one of his students got 100 on a test or a quiz. And that way, when anyone would complain it was too much, he could pull the test out of the drawer and just say, "Come on, you can do this." And I'm sharing this story because that's basically what Yom Kippur is like, pretty much of a marathon. And it's a day that we try to get 100, you know, not in terms of any grade that God gives us, but 100 in terms of how much we extend ourselves. It's the one day of the year we really go to town spiritually. And that's an important thing, so we could look at that day the rest of the year. And it's one of the reasons I think we don't engage in any of these physical activities. I posted a YouTube, my Shabbat YouTube, asking that question and saying that we're trying to be like angels, that we don't eat, we don't drink, we don't engage in any physical relations, because on this day we're transforming ourselves into a more spiritual version of who we are, and we're mimicking the angels. Of course, Yom Kippur is a day to get atonement for our sins, but it's also a day to create a certain kind of memory that we can use the rest of the year, so that in a month from now, or please God, 6 months from now, when we're struggling with something, maybe keeping up one of those New Year's resolutions that we made, or just doing the right thing in business and being honest, or not speaking lashon hara, negative speech about another person, or getting up in the morning to daven, putting on tefillin, whatever it is that we're doing, observing Shabbat to whatever degree we're doing that. You know, we say, "Can I do this? This is too hard." Sort of turn to God and say, "You know, move me down, put me in a lower class." Hashem can pull out, or really we can pull out the 100 and say, look at the way you were on Yom Kippur. You went the whole day without eating. You went the whole day basically praying and just being connected to spiritual things. If you did that then, you can do this now. And I think that's a very, very important lesson and something that we can use Yom Kippur for. Also, I told a story in the chapter about a king of England who agreed to ride his carriage through this small town, and the people heard he was coming, and none of them was more excited, of course, than the children in this little orphanage that was in the town, and they bathed the children, they got the kids ready. It's a very sweet story about like meeting the king. And when the king came and everyone in the town assembled, the little children were well behaved, they lined up, and as the carriage passed by, there was this one little kid who basically broke ranks and ran up to the king's carriage. He climbed up to the carriage, he grabbed the king's lapel, and he said, "My parents." He showed him a picture. "These are my parents. I need you to save them." And he handed the king the picture and told him where he believed his parents were being kept. And the king was stunned by this tremendous break in the protocol. But he had a little admiration for the passion that this kid had. So he was moved by the child's enthusiasm and his intensity to help his parents. So he decided to look into the matter. And eventually the king's advisors were able to reunite the orphan boy with his parents. And that's basically Ne'ilah. Ne'ilah is this additional prayer that we break ranks. It's a prayer that we say, "You know what? I can't do more, but I'm going to do more." Because there's no such thing as more praying, you know, more than Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv, you know, morning, afternoon, evening services. Yeah, on Shabbos and Yom Tov and the holidays, we have Musaf, the additional offering brought in the temple. We have an additional prayer service. But what's Ne'ilah? Ne'ilah is just another one, because Ne'ilah is the time, the concluding service of Yom Kippur, when we basically share our true feelings and we go a little crazy and we say, "I'm going to do one more," creating that memory for the rest of the year. And that's unbelievably important that we create that kind of model for ourselves, not anyone else. It's us creating the models for ourselves for later in the year. So that's something to look forward to as well on Yom Kippur, not only getting our sins forgiven, but creating that memory, which can last, please God, the rest of the year.